off their weapons! Now! You have no chance of escape! Come forward! I wish to take you back alive! This is your last warning!
What do you say, John? Fuck them.
Rambo returns, this time to save his friend and former commander from evil Russian forces in Afghanistan. This week, we talk about the history of glow sticks. Afghanis who know what's in American newspapers but have never heard of football, and I give some pretty irresponsible medical advice. Then we find out if Rambo 3 stands the test of time.
James and Alan have their say. Do the movies you love still hold up today? James says Gladiator with a glut. Alan says as a father, blah blah. It's the test of time. James and Alan have their say. Do the movies you love still hold up today? Test of time. James and Alan have their say. Do the movies you love still hold up today?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Test of Time podcast. My name is Alan Noah, and sitting across from me is some guy.
Hi, I'm some guy, sometimes known as James Brief, and sometimes known as the better podcast partner on the Test of Time podcast.
Known as the better podcast partner by whom?
That guy.
Yourself.
You. I'm talking to you, the listener.
I don't think anyone thinks that.
No, you do.
I do?
No, not you. You, the listener.
Oh, this is why no one likes you. Just kidding. Everyone loves you, especially me. So today we are wrapping up our Rambo trilogy with Rambo 3. Yes, we know that there was a fourth one that came out before the new fifth one, but the fourth movie, titled Rambo, came out in 2008. It's only 11 years old and therefore does not qualify for our 15 years rule. So we can't officially talk about it. I mean, we'll mention it, but we're not going to officially do an episode about it. But before we get into that, I thought it would be interesting to kind of look back at Sylvester Stallone's career, because last year we did all of the Rocky movies. Now we're doing all of the Rambo movies. And those are like the big two Sylvester Stallone franchises. He also had the Expendables, but that's a little bit more contemporary. And, you know, we'll talk about other Stallone movies throughout the course of this podcast, I'm sure. But he really hit a slump post-Rambo, post-Rocky, where he was making a lot of duds for a while there.
Yeah, I mean, it took a while to really realize that he was in this downfall, but in the mid-80s, it was really Stallone versus Arnold. I mean, for every Arnold Commando, you'd have Stallone would have that same year, he'd have Rocky IV, and they were really, you know, one-upping each other. And then really in the late 80s, Arnold Schwarzenegger had a lot of huge hits, because he also went into more of a sci-fi realm with Total Recall and The Running Man, The Terminator, where Stallone never really got into this. He basically kept doing 80s action films, kind of throughout the 80s and 90s. And I think people got maybe a little bit sick of that formula. Because, you know, if you look at 1985, he had Rambo First Blood Part 2 and Rocky 4. So he had, I think that was the number 2 and 3 film of the year that year. And of course, what was number 1 in 1985?
Back to the Future.
Right. But if you look after Rocky IV, listen to the films. I mean, these are films that they're known. They're not huge financial hits because none of these really have sequels. He has Cobra, then Over the Top. We have Rambo 3 here, and that movie did not do so well. It wouldn't have another sequel for 20 years. A movie called Lock Up, Tango and Cash, Rocky 5 in 1990, which killed the franchise also for another 18 years. Then he had a series of really bad comedies, Oscar, and what's the most famous comedy of his?
Stop! Exclamation point, or my mom will shoot.
Then he had a couple minor hits. He had Cliffhanger in 93 and Demolition Man, which didn't do that well. I remember he had a big flop with The Specialist. I remember that because that was a Sharon Stone film, and that was a big flop. He had Judge Dredd. That was a big flop.
Don't tell me about the law. I am the law.
Exactly.
That was a running joke with me and some of my high school friends.
You ever see this movie Daylight?
Wait, is that the one where they're trapped in the Midtown Tunnel?
Yeah, one of the tunnels. Yeah.
Maybe it's Lincoln Tunnel, Holland Tunnel, one of the tunnels. Yes, I remember seeing that movie in the theater with my cousin Seth. I don't know why we went to see it. I know he really likes Stallone. I guess that's the reason why. But yeah, I remember that movie. I remember it being pretty terrible.
Well, I remember it being tunnels that are like 5 stories tall, and it's like, climb to the top of that cliff there. And if you've ever driven in the Lincoln Tunnel, it's like no taller than like a bus. Like the tunnels are really, really low. I mean, enough to fit a car, but it was just a very weird film. Then he had a film, kind of an indie film called Copland in 1997. And that was kind of the first time that people started looking at him again as this, you know, Oscar kind of winner that he was for Rocky. And it would be another 10 years, really, before he'd have more hits with Rocky Balboa. And then he'd get the Oscar nomination again for Creed in 2015. But he had a lot of stinkers for a while. And Rambo 3, which we're going to talk about today, that really is kind of at the beginning of it. We didn't really realize it yet, but he would kind of be on in the beginning of a downward trend in the quality of his films and the box office take.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about Rambo 3, shall we, now that we've set it up. So this movie starts with John Rambo living a secluded life off the grid in Thailand. Colonel Sam Troutman travels there, hoping to convince his former soldier to accompany him on a mission in Afghanistan to help the Mujahideen against the Soviets. Rambo refuses, and Troutman goes without him. Unfortunately, Troutman is captured by a ruthless Russian colonel.
Oh no!
Yeah, I know. Once he hears what happened, Rambo decides to go in alone on a secret mission to rescue his longtime friend. There are explosions everywhere and bad guys get wasted before Rambo completes his mission, even teaming up with Troutman as the two of them work together to fight the evil Russians.
That's right. This film had a huge budget, 50% more than the last film, a $63 million budget in 1988. I mean, that's a pretty big budget.
That's a lot of millions of dollars.
Yes. And it opened on May 25th, 1988, and it opened with $16 million, and it opened at number two to another huge sequel to another 80s film. But the first film was enormous, and I'm shocked we haven't done it yet, but this sequel is completely forgotten. I think there was even like a third in this franchise. The hero of that film has a similar weapon to Rambo.
All right, a bow and arrow?
No.
The knife?
Yes. It's one of the best lines ever in an 80s film.
Oh, you're talking about Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. Rambo 3 lost out to Crocodile Dundee 2, which is, I mean, can you remember anything about that second film?
Yes. I'm pretty sure that in the first Crocodile Dundee movie, the beginning takes place in Australia and the second half takes place in New York. I think the second movie flips it, where it starts in America and then goes to Australia.
I have no idea. But the film did not do that well. It wound up only making $53 million domestically, so $10 million less than its budget. It did make $189 million worldwide, which kind of makes sense because you could see, oh, you know, this big American action star. It's the kind of thing that would play well. You know, I read something interesting about the budget for this film, that Sylvester Stallone, now he is peak Stallone here. So even though this film came out in 88, this film was probably negotiated at the end of Rambo 2's enormous box office draw. And in 1985, like I said, he has the number 2 and 3 film of the year. So Sylvester Stallone asked for a Gulfstream jet as part of his pay for this film, and they gave it to him. According to IMDb, that was $12 million.
So that's like a big chunk of the budget.
Yeah, probably. I think they were hoping that we'd get another $300 million worldwide.
I mean, does he know how to fly a Gulfstream jet? Is he like John Travolta as like a pilot?
I don't think he's the pilot. I think he just wanted his own so he wouldn't have to fly first class with the rest of the scum out there.
Ugh, I hate those scum in First Class. They are the worst.
So there is kind of a cool opening in Thailand.
And it starts with Troutman and this other guy, Kurtwood Smith, who we know from That 70s Show. And also he's the bad guy in RoboCop. But they're looking for Rambo. And they do this thing where it's like a quote-unquote dramatic reveal of Rambo, where you see him like getting ready and you see the muscles and then you finally see like him tying the bandana, but you're only looking at his back, and then he turns around and you see his face finally, and it's supposed to be like, whoa! But like the whole time we know that's Rambo. It's not like a surprise in any way, shape, or form. Yes, he looks extra muscular, maybe even more so than he did in Rambo: First Blood Part 2, but it's still just not like a big surprise that we see Rambo in the beginning of a movie called Rambo 3, you know?
Right. I mean, you expect maybe we see three of them. But in this film, they find Rambo in one of these kind of, I don't know if it's underground. It kind of looks like in Thailand, they have a lot of these Muay Thai fighting arenas, and people are betting on him versus other huge guy that he's fighting. And it's not just kickboxing, really, because they have huge batons, too, right, which is a little weird because one of these baton hits to the head. I mean, these guys are huge, first of all. It looks like you just crack your skull open, if not just be knocked totally unconscious. And Rambo does have sort of like wild looks in his eyes while he's fighting. And there's one point when he has the bad guy, not the bad guy, his opponent in a chokehold. And at the end, he's wondering, like, should I just snap his neck and kill him or choke him? And he doesn't. Rambo spares him. So good old Rambo. He's not a murderer, except for all those people that killed in Rambo 2.
And in the Vietnam War, and the one guy in First Blood.
Well, the first one in First Blood was an accident.
Yeah, but still. And then the crowd starts chanting, Rambo, 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 which just made me think of Rocky. I mean, you know, it's impossible to not think of that while you're seeing Stallone in a fight, and then the crowd's chanting the character's name. But Troutman and Griggs, who's the Kurtwood Smith character, they don't get a chance to talk to Rambo at this point. He leaves. He goes off with these monks. He gives the monks the money that he earned for the fight. And I'm not an expert on Tibetan monks, but aren't they pacifists? Wouldn't they not want him to, like, fight violently for money?
I don't know, but he's going with it, the kids, and it's one of those things that he's helping out the monastery, because the next scene is you see him like repairing the roof, and they let him stay, and he earns a little money doing some fights once in a while. He doesn't seem to really be proud of that, but yeah, that's the life he's living right now. It's secluded, it's working for him.
Right. And then Troutman shows up and basically pitches Rambo to go on this other mission, that basically there are all of these evil Russians in Afghanistan and they're killing innocent people, and Rambo should come and join him in this fight. And okay, I get that he needs to recruit Rambo for the mission, but in the first two movies, I kind of like Troutman. He's on Rambo's side. There's no reason to not like him. I really felt like he was a massive dick in this scene. He comes across Rambo, who is finally living a peaceful, quiet life, and he's begging him to come back to war. And the reason that he's giving him is he's saying, you need to come full circle. And that only makes sense in the context of they figured this was going to be the last Rambo movie. Because what else could it mean? Like, how does him going and fighting another war mean he's coming full circle? And Troutman goes on this whole thing about, we didn't make you into the man you were. You were always that person and we just let it out of you. He doesn't even say, listen, I saw you fighting the other day. There's this violence inside of you that you need to let out. You should come and help these people. His entire rationale is stupid and annoying.
I think you are nailing something here. The plot of this film doesn't make sense. It's 1988. We know that the Soviet Union is about to fall, but the reality is that there hasn't been a real American war now in a decade and a half since Vietnam, I mean, the Soviets are our enemy, but it's a Cold War, so we never really fought, we never fired a bullet. We're certainly going to talk about the irony about the people that that Rambo is helping in this film. Turns out to be the, I guess, sort of the ancestors of the Taliban. But we don't really have, you know, these terrorist bad guys, and so they pick the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, which was never really that. It's a bad word to use, but a kind of Hollywood sexy of a conflict. So people were kind of just kind of nodding along of like, all right, so you mean Soviets are the bad guys. Like, they're just shoehorning anything into this. Like, the first film makes perfect sense. Vietnam vet. What happens to him in America? Second film, while it's silly, it's okay. Who are you going to send back into Vietnam? A Vietnam vet, a Vietnam Green Beret. Sure. He's the best guy for this job.
Right.
But this year, in 1988, why are they sending in a guy that hasn't seen action in 16 years?
Yeah, it's really weird, and it's frustratingly bad. But Troutman says, okay, Rambo, if you're not coming, I'm going to go myself. He goes into Afghanistan, and his entire team is killed. But for some reason, and the reason being it is for the plot of the movie, they don't kill Troutman. They keep him as a prisoner. And you can't think about that. You can't think about the why. It makes zero sense. They're killing everyone they see. But then the last man standing, they're like, hey, don't shoot him.
Well, they do capture a few more people because there's a couple people in that prison, remember? But they capture an American, and they do make it clear, this guy's an American in Afghanistan. That's a significant POW, not some random Pakistanis or Afghanistani Mujahideen freedom fighters that they capture. It is very significant that the Soviets would want to keep this American colonel that's in Afghanistan alive. But what doesn't make sense is that this fighter helicopter turns everyone into like ground beef. I mean, these are like 80 caliber bullets that just chop everyone in half. And for some reason, Colonel Troutman doesn't get killed. That's the part that doesn't make sense. I will say that capturing him once they realize there's an American colonel, it makes sense to keep him. But it's a really silly capture scene.
Yes. And the next scene is also really silly, where Griggs, the Kurtwood Smith guy, comes back to Thailand from who knows where. I mean, you assume Washington or something. Flies halfway around the world just to tell Rambo, hey, just want to let you know that Troutman was captured. Well, see you later. And then Rambo is like, okay, well, I'll go in and fight and rescue him now because it's his friend. And so then you could think, okay, well, maybe that was the plan all along. That's why Griggs came to Thailand.
So yes, that, I assume that's what it was.
But that doesn't make sense because then Griggs is like, well, I might be able to get you in. I don't know. It's going to be like a real pain. I probably can't. And even if I do, we would disavow you if you got captured. And then Rambo's like, yeah, I'm used to it. But he doesn't say, okay, great. He's like, well, I don't know. It's going to be a lot of hard work for me to get you in. Like, then what's the point of going and telling him this information?
Yeah, that's a good point. But the fact is, he does help him get in. And he's able to get him through Pakistan. He gets to the Afghanistan border. And he meets up with Griggs' contact, who's this arms dealer. And, you know, like in James Bond films, the Q scene.
Yeah, sure.
Which is basically the scene where he's going to get all the tech that he's going to need for this one. And I love that he shows, here's the detonators, which, you know, will be important for us to see later. But then, is this a test of time thing? He goes into like a 15-second explanation of glow sticks. And I'm talking about the little like party favor things that you snap and they glow neon green, neon blue. He's like, what is this one? Well, it's in case you need a light. Well, what does it do? It turns blue, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was mildly amusing. I don't know, maybe that is a test of time thing, that glow sticks weren't a big deal in the late 80s. I feel like they were a big part of the club culture of the mid to late 90s, but I don't know, maybe they were new then.
Yeah, I feel like if they were around, we would have seen them in all the like 70s disco flashback things. So they probably were brand new around then.
Okay.
Well, you know, then Colonel Troutman, he's in the Soviet base, and we meet this really evil guy, the Soviet who loves torture and everything. And there is a great speech that I'm sure you were thinking the same thing I was. You know, the Soviets had tried to invade Afghanistan, and like everyone else, they were unsuccessful in it. Like everyone in history has tried to conquer Afghanistan. And that Troutman gives this great speech about how futile it is to try to invade and control Afghanistan, and how America is way too smart to try to do something like this. I mean, of course, yeah, we're not conquering Afghanistan right now, but we are occupying it. And you must have been thinking that it was at least interesting.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this Afghanistan stuff did not age well, unfortunately. But this evil Russian bad guy, Colonel Zaysen is his name. He also has in his lair, like a mirror that has photographs of like his family, like on the side of the mirror, which that totally took me out of it. I'm like, is this guy like a middle manager with pictures of his kids on his desk? Like, what the hell is that?
I didn't notice that.
So bizarre.
But Rambo has crossed the border, and he is now in a Mujahideen village. And the Mujahideen, these are the people that are the, I guess here they're portrayed as the freedom fighters fighting against the Soviet invaders.
Yeah, they're the good guys.
And they are definitely the good guys.
In this movie, to be clear.
You know, they're portrayed very sympathetically, and there's all these impoverished kids, and the kids admire Rambo, and he admires his knife and his gun, and Rambo is still wearing the necklace that he acquired in Rambo 2 from Ko, and he pleads to the villagers that he needs some help. He just needs a couple men to come with him, some guides in Afghanistan. And the leader says how there are people being murdered and gassed and raped, but you know, this stuff is not covered in your newspapers, is it?
Yeah, I didn't get that at all. How does this guy know what's being reported on in American newspapers? This is 1988. He's not going online and checking websites of American news outlets. Like, what the fuck do you know, dude? Like, how does this guy know what's being covered in American newspapers?
Microfilms.
From the local library in the desert?
Yeah, microfiche and microfilms. Maybe he has those things.
I do not think that they do.
Now, everyone speaks English, which I'm actually okay with, but Rambo's watching some sport that the people are playing, and he goes, I prefer football. The guy he's with, he's been with for a while, he goes, I do not know this game. Is that the game that you play with your foot? That I couldn't go with, because football is probably the single most well-known word around the entire world. It probably doesn't matter what language you speak, football, people kind of know this word. And he's like, oh, I do not know this game that you speak of.
Right. Meanwhile, the other people in this village know every detail of American newspapers.
Right, so... right. But what is this game with a single ball that is the most popular game in the entire world?
Right. And they would be thinking of it as soccer, but even still, they would have heard of the word football.
Right. But why in Afghanistan would they call it soccer? But there is something that they are playing. There's this sport that they're playing. It's sort of, I guess you could say it's a combination of... polo and like a little bit American football, because you basically have to bring this one like animal skin on your horse from one side of the village to the other or something like that.
I guess. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, we don't really understand the rules of the game. Neither does Rambo, but he's a natural at it.
Right. He starts playing and he's really, really good at it, but... he doesn't have a chance to win, I guess, because mid-game, the Soviets attack and start blowing everything up. And here's where you get your explosion palooza that you would want, I guess, in a Rambo movie. But it's not thrilling because it's all civilians who are getting slaughtered left and right.
Right. It's not even an attack. It's one attack helicopter that's just mowing down everyone, again, with these 80 caliber bullets that are just chopping people up. And Rambo is like outrunning the bullets. You know, when the helicopter's firing at your feet and you're running in the opposite direction, like Rambo is just running faster than it can fire. And it's just a little silly. And then he gets to an anti-aircraft gun, and I guess there were two helicopters, right? And he takes out one of them. He takes out the smaller one, and then the bigger helicopter, it flies away.
Then Rambo says, listen, I'm going in. If you guys aren't going to help me, I'm going to go alone. And one of the leaders of the group says, this isn't your war. And you can see it coming a mile away when Rambo says, it is now. So he goes in with the one guy who showed him all the weapons, who asked about the glow sticks. He's going in with Rambo. And there's this little boy in the village who decides he wants to go with them. Rambo tells him, no, 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 you can't. But he tags along anyway, and the kid even ends up going into the Soviet base with them because he just won't leave them alone.
Right. It's just one of these annoying 80s things where a kid has to tag along with them. It's not like the kid has any purpose. It's not like the kid's mother is there and he's like, no, I will go to rescue my mother. It really is, no, I will help rescue your white friend with you after my entire village has been wiped out.
Well, he does say that, like, his family has been killed, so he's looking for revenge.
Okay, fine. But they do get into the base. It's pretty cool how they break into the base, I thought, because I thought it was kind of cool how Rambo does that crawl on the ground with his knife in front of him, and he finds all the, like, landmines, and I thought that was kind of neat.
It cuts through like some barbed wire, and eventually they do get to Troutman. Rambo finds the cell that Troutman is being held in, but Rambo's not able to rescue him because they're ambushed and the dumb kid gets injured in the firefight. So Rambo has to rescue him instead. And along the way, Rambo gets hurt. And you might remember in First Blood when Rambo sutures himself. Here, he does something similar, but way more painful.
What he's essentially trying to do is he's trying to cauterize the wound. For some reason, I think he like opens up a shell,
yes,
pours gunpowder into his body, and then sticks a hot knife onto that gunpowder. It's something, something, something. Don't think about it. He just cauterized his wound, right?
I mean, I was going to ask you, as a doctor, like,
the gunpowder therapy, we do not learn this in medical school.
No, but I was just planning to see if you thought that it could work. I mean, yeah, I had the exact same thought as you. Like, it's some kind of way to cauterize the wound, but it seems exceedingly painful. He yelps, like, after he does it, which, like, okay, even for a tough guy like him, I could see that.
Right, right. And, you know, there are medical instruments. There's something called a Bovie, which is one of these things that as you slice, it is cauterizing. And there are cauterizing instruments, but I just don't get what the gunpowder was. Shoving explosives into your body and then lighting them on fire, probably not the best. But I'm not a trauma surgeon, so I don't know.
But you are a doctor, so I think our listeners can take that as valid medical advice.
I guess if you do have nothing but gunpowder and a hot knife, take Dr. Rambo's medical advice.
Wait, so you're suggesting that people do this?
I mean, it worked for Rambo, didn't it? And then he was able to take out the Soviet army after this. So I think it might actually make you superpowered.
I think this is really irresponsible medical advice, James. You're going to lose your license or something? I don't know how that works.
I have license in multiple states. So,
oh, okay. Then you'll be fine. But yeah, so then, you know, Rambo has to go back to the base to get Troutman. There's a really cheesy line where the evil Russian colonel says to Troutman, who does this man think he is? God? And Troutman says, no, God would have mercy. He won't. Okay, eye roll. And Troutman's about to be tortured again by the evil Russians when Rambo busts in and he saves him and all the other prisoners. And now they're on the run. And Rambo and Troutman become this action duo. In the first two movies, they share scenes together, but they're never like a pair kicking ass together. And now, for anyone who wanted that, now you get it.
Right, and it's cool because I believe in First Blood, they do make references to, oh, how many times you saved my butt and I saved you in Vietnam. There were references that they used to be kind of an action duo, but you get the idea that Troutman is now the Pentagon kind of pencil pusher, so he's not going to pick up a gun anymore.
Well, yes, you could sort of imagine him as a quote-unquote suit, but on the other hand, he does go into Afghanistan for this mission without Rambo.
That's true.
You know, so, but the thing about these scenes with the two of them is that they are filled with terrible one-liners. I mean, there are a lot of them. Troutman says, "Oh, how are you, John?" And he says, "Well done." Because, you know, he cauterized the wound. Ba-dum-bum. And Rambo says, "Well, you know, you taught us to ignore pain." And Troutman's like, "Well, how's it working?" And Rambo says, "Not great. But hey, don't take it personal." It's like, okay, all right. Troutman at one point says, "Hey, man, sorry I got you into this." And Rambo says, "No, you're not," which isn't even a joke, but it's supposed to be a joke. There's just a lot of that shit that was really annoying me.
Yeah, the one-liners were pretty bad.
Very bad.
When Rambo, he's going after this army, he's taking out guys one at a time. He even takes out a helicopter with a bow and arrow. That's pretty Rambo-ish.
I mean, it's an exploding arrow, right?
Yes, this one is.
Right. Somewhere along the way, Troutman like lifts up a rock and it happens to lead into this underground cave, which is like, wait, how did he know that was there? And then they have this fight with all the bad guys in the cave. There's more bad one-liners. Troutman like saves Rambo at the last second. And they're like, oh, good timing. And he's like, yeah, well, hey, what are friends for? It's like, it makes you want to facepalm. It's so bad.
Yeah, and one of the guys he kills in the cave, he has a walkie-talkie, and the Soviet colonel's on the other side of the conversation, and Rambo picks up the phone, and he's like, "Who are you?" This has to have been in the trailer. Rambo picks it up, and he answers, "Who am I? I am..." Do you remember what he says?
"Your worst nightmare."
Oh, God. It's really bad.
If there's a book about, like, how to write cheesy action one-liners, this is all like on page one.
Right, right. It's like a parody of an 80s film doing these bad one-liners that had it been written today, you'd almost laugh at them. Like, very well done. He said he's well done because he had just been cauterized, right? Yeah, it's funny. But this one was kind of taking it seriously, but also for a laugh.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it wasn't that great. There was one part of this film I did remember, and that's when the bad guys are kind of chasing him, and one of the bad guys sees one of the glow sticks, and he goes, "I must pick this up." And he picks it up, and it's attached to a grenade, and it blows him up.
Okay.
It does two things. One, again, this guy had never seen a glow stick before, so that's kind of a test of time-ish. But also, have you ever seen Full Metal Jacket, Stanley Kubrick's film?
Yes, it's been a long time, but I have seen that.
But there's an identical scene where they're just kind of going through some of the wreckage of some buildings, and there's a teddy bear, and some guy picks up a teddy bear, and he blows up because it was attached to a grenade.
Yeah, don't just pick up random things when you're in the middle of a war.
No, probably not.
And so then there's this fight with this like big henchman who's, you know, like the main villain's like right-hand man. He's the guy who's torturing Troutman. And the way that Rambo kills him is kind of stupid. He basically throws him into this cave hole thing and also pulls the grenade pin.
Oh, God.
So like while he's dangling to his death, he also blows up.
Well, I watched this twice because I really want to see how does Rambo kill this bad guy. So there's this big bad guy and he's squeezing Rambo. So they're kind of, their faces are almost touching each other, almost like they're about to kiss. But they're,
ooh, yeah.
They're squeezing. And, you know, you think it's one of these things where maybe Rambo is going to headbutt him or something and disorient him for a second. But what does Rambo do? The bad guy has two grenades on his chest, hanging on his vest. And Rambo pulls the pins out of the grenades, which forces the guy to let go of Rambo. And Rambo kicks him. He falls into a cave. He falls down, still attached to a rope. Mm-hmm. And the guy falls like 100 feet down. His neck snaps. He's dead, but then he blows up.
Right.
The blowing up and the neck snap itself, isn't that weird? I just couldn't understand what made this guy let go of Rambo. It made no sense.
I mean, nothing about it makes any sense.
Yeah. So the bad guy is killed. And the weird thing about this film is that you keep thinking the film is over. And I think the film is done now. And seemingly victorious, Troutman and Rambo are kind of on their horseback. And you think they're just kind of making their way back to the village. And suddenly they find themselves surrounded by the Soviets in a no-win situation. Because, I mean, there's attack copters, there's artillery, there's tanks, there's 1,000 soldiers here, or at least hundreds of soldiers with Kalashnikovs.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
Like AK-47s.
Okay.
Yeah. And Troutman kind of goes to Rambo, like, what do you want to do? Because, of course, on the announcement, they're like, if you surrender, nothing bad will happen to you. And they know this guy's a torturer, so you don't want to surrender to this guy.
But again, why would they want to take these guys alive? Like, Rambo and Troutman just killed a whole bunch of their people.
That's true.
They escaped from, like, their compound, which was supposed to be an impenetrable fortress. Like, if you've got the chance to kill them, why are you offering them the chance to surrender? It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense because someone like Rambo doesn't surrender. He's going to go out fighting.
Yeah, they basically decide that they're going to make a last stand and they're going to go down in a blaze of glory and they'll go out fighting. But then all of these Mujahideen fighters come in from out of nowhere and they start attacking the Russians. And now Rambo and Troutman have a chance to fight back. There's this big, huge battle scene. And Rambo uses a tank to blow up the evil Russian colonel.
Oh, you'd think that what he does is he uses the tank to fire a mortar at the evil Russian in the helicopter, right?
Oh, that would be what would make sense, yeah.
It would make perfect sense. Will the helicopter fire first? Or will the tank fire first? But that's not what happens in this film.
No, they basically play chicken and like drive into each other. And for whatever reason, and the reason being it's a Rambo movie, the bad guy dies and Rambo survives.
Right. There's a lot of weird things. Rambo looks like he's going to throw a Molotov cocktail at this helicopter, which I'll admit, kind of cool. But Rambo falls off his horse going at full speed while holding a Molotov cocktail. And not only is Rambo not killed instantly, the Molotov cocktail is still lying on the ground intact. And, you know, the Mujahideen versus the Soviets, the whole point of no matter how powerful your army is, you can't beat these local guys in Afghanistan that know the terrain. It makes a lot of sense the Mujahideen are able to defeat the Soviets because they really did.
Right.
But it's just done really stupid. Rambo beats them by ramming a tank into a flying helicopter. Why is this helicopter flying 8 feet off the ground? All it has to do is fly 15 feet off the ground and they will not be killed. It's just insulting.
It really, really is. But the good guys win. The bad guys are all dead. The little boy who had been tagging along earlier, he had been asking Rambo for the necklace that Ko gave him. Rambo had said no before, but he finally gives the kid the lucky necklace. I couldn't help but think that Ko's lucky necklace wasn't all that lucky because of what happened to Ko, where she was shot and brutally murdered, but whatever. And then the movie ends with this infamous text on screen that says this film is dedicated to the gallant people of Afghanistan. And I remember after 9/11, there were all of these rumors on the internet that the original text said that this film is dedicated to the brave men of the Taliban, but that's not really true. It always said the gallant people of Afghanistan, which I guess you could say, well, if you're just saluting the gallant people of any country, that's a good thing because they're gallant. But he's basically praising the freedom fighters that would go on to become the Taliban that would attack America on September 11th. And it's not a good look. And that line definitely does not stand the test of time.
I have to say, I think what you said earlier really nailed it. Because I didn't think it said Taliban, but I thought it was going to say something much worse than the brave people of Afghanistan. Because there were a lot of Afghanis that were originally on our side. Remember the Northern Alliance and all these things? There were a lot of Afghanis that were always against the Taliban and all that stuff. So on retrospect, this was not nearly as bad as I thought it would be. It's the brave people of Afghanistan that just simply don't like foreigners coming into their country, which they've pretty much been telling the world for about 3,000 years.
Right.
But it's just that the film, it needed a bad guy. It needed it to be the Soviets because it's 1988. And where are the Soviets active? I guess Afghanistan, you know? We could film this in Wyoming and no one will know.
Right. It is a little bit of a recycled plot point within the Rambo movies that he fought an evil Russian in Vietnam in the second movie, and now he's fighting evil Russians in Afghanistan in the third movie.
Right. I mean, did you see the tagline for this film on any of the posters? It goes, "The first was for himself. The second one was for his country. This time, it's for his friend." I mean, it's not like it's escalating. It's be like, the first was for himself, second was for his country, this time it's for all of humanity.
It's for the world. It's for freedom. It's for like an ideal or something. That is a terrible tagline.
Could have been, this time it's for honor, this time like anything. Like
this time it's for justice, something like that. Right. This movie does not end with a freeze frame like the first two do. It does end with a song. It's a classic. It's "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." It's sung by Bill Medley. Do you remember what other movie we've heard a song by Bill Medley from?
Was it possibly The Last Dragon?
No, it was from Dirty Dancing.
Ah, that's a good soundtrack.
Yeah, it's "I've Had the Time of My Life" was by Bill Medley.
What song?
You're gonna sing it.
Now I have the time of my life.
He's also famously from The Righteous Brothers. But regardless, that is where the original Rambo trilogy ended. The franchise was dormant for many, many years before he dusted it off in 2000, what was it, 8?
Yep, 2008.
For the fourth movie, Rambo.
It did pretty well. It was at a $50 million budget. It wound up grossing $112 million worldwide. And I'm sure the streaming rights or whatever have been profitable enough. Rambo, the fourth film, was pretty well received by fans. Did you see it, Al?
I did. I don't believe I saw it in the theater, maybe, but I saw it. It was fine. Julie Benz is in it from Dexter. I don't remember a ton. I remember that it was way more violent than the first three. There's like a way higher kill count.
Oh, yeah. Bad guys are way more violent. I think they like killed kids and burned them. There was a lot of bad stuff. It takes place in Myanmar, Burma.
Right. Which makes sense that would be the place where he would go. I haven't seen the new one, the Last Blood movie, yet. I'm sure I will see it when it's on Netflix or HBO at some point down the road. I'm not racing to see it in the theater. I know you don't watch trailers, but the trailer for Last Blood was pretty cool. It was set to Old Town Road.
What song is that, Al?
The way I sing it when I want to annoy my son, who's been singing it nonstop, is I do kind of like an old-timey jazz version of it. And it goes like this, like, "I gotta take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna stay on the road, and there's a nice horse, and the horse is there, and I like
Dad!
The horse. Dad, you're ruining my song. Stop." But it actually was pretty effective in that trailer.
I think this is the kind of film that I would hope they did not make it like Rambo 3, a $63 million budget. If they make it for $30 million, they're going to make themselves a nice little profit. But I don't see this film making $100 million in the theaters.
It probably doesn't need to. So now is the time where we should talk about Rambo 3 and see if it stands the test of time. James, What are your thoughts?
Well, I thought Rambo 2 was a fun action film, and I thought...
I'm sorry, what movie?
Rambo, First Blood Part 2.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying.
AKA, otherwise popularly known as Rambo 2. And I thought that that film was fun. You know, it followed a lot of the action rules. It kept me entertained. And this film, though, I'll have to say, kind of boring. It took almost an hour for Rambo to do anything, and I did not find the kickboxing fight to be that interesting. I didn't think there were any stakes, really, especially when it was in the first minute of the film. You ever play this game, this old arcade game called Operation Wolf?
Yes. I remember that.
It was one of those first, like, first-person shooters, and you're kind of just killing generic, I think it was, like, Central American guys. And that's what this film felt like. It felt like it was, like, they were just mowing down generic Soviet guys. I don't know. I just felt there was nothing at stake there. Just going in for the friend that kind of, you're right, like, told them, like, a stupid mission. They shouldn't have been there. Right. I even think they could have manufactured something, like... The government tricked Troutman and he should never have been there in the first place. And Rambo, who's always been a little skeptical of the way the government treated him, he goes back in to help him. Like, it was a bad story. I feel like Stallone signed up for this film and it was like 3 weeks to shooting. And they're like, we don't have a script. Like, just buy some cheesy script that hasn't been optioned and just kind of like change the guy's name to Rambo. I just think there's a lot that's missing. And I think that Stallone, to his credit, with Rocky V and with Rambo 3, he really saw what angered his fans, what really didn't work with the character. And then 20 years later, he was able to go back and really get back to the roots of it. And I think that Rocky Balboa and Rambo, as in Rambo 4, were both successful in that. And I think Rambo 3 kind of forgets what the franchise is about, this disgruntled and kind of mentally unstable Vietnam vet. And I thought it was generic. The glow sticks were cool. It's shot pretty cool. There's a really cool shot when one of the guides says, "This is the beauty of Afghanistan." And there's a gorgeous shot there. I have no idea where he shot that. But there's a lot of stuff that's nice in this film, but not nearly enough of it. The sports scene makes no sense. I was still like, get to the action. And when the action happened, I was like, this is boring. So, yeah, to me, it just doesn't work. What do you think, Al? Rambo 3, 1988. Does it stand up?
No, it doesn't. I mean, there are so many things about this movie that annoy the crap out of me. The fact that the plot makes no sense. The fact that there's this parade of horrible one-liners. Rambo and his buddy Troutman are like kicking ass and taking names and making jokes. It's like, shut up. Like, this isn't the Rambo that we know from First Blood. It's not even really the Rambo that we know from Rambo : First Blood Part 2. It's just like goofy and annoying. And I really didn't like most of it. I also have an annoying quibble with this movie that I didn't mention before. Oftentimes when I watch these movies, I will put them on with subtitles if I'm like somewhere that's a little loud and I really want to make sure I'm getting all of the dialogue. I didn't watch this movie with the subtitles, but I noticed that there still were an awful lot of subtitles. When Rambo is infiltrating like the Russian base, everything that every background Russian soldier says is subtitled. Did you notice that?
No.
Yeah, it was really distracting. Like, you hear these guys who are just like on patrol and the text on screen is saying like, "Hey, what's in that box?" Or, "That's my job." And, "Hey, let's go. Who cares? Are you hungry?" "No, I didn't have bread." "Oh, I'm going to have bread soon." Like, I don't need to know what these background characters are saying. It's background Russian. Don't put the captions on the screen. Don't translate that. Like, how fucking annoying was that? Everything about this movie annoyed me. And it's a clear no that this movie does not stand the test of time.
Even the glow sticks annoyed you? Everything annoyed you? There wasn't one good thing?
I don't know that the glow sticks annoyed me, but they didn't do anything for me. The guide who was talking to him about the glow sticks, I thought that guy sounded a lot like Watto from Star Wars Episode 1. Just a thing I noticed. But that's going to do it for the Rambo trilogy. I said that all three of them do not stand the test of time, even though I liked the first one.
I thought it was a slow progression down. I thought the first one was a really interesting film. Second one, it could have been a good film with a better cut, slightly better direction. I think if James Cameron had directed it, it would have been awesome. But the third one just had nothing going for it.
So that's it for our episodes about Rambo. That's it for this week. Next week, we are going to have a very special episode. In honor of our 40th birthdays, we are going to talk about the movie 10 with Dudley Moore and Bo Derek. That movie came out 40 years ago, just like we did. So I'm excited to talk about that. Make sure you don't miss that episode. Click subscribe. Talk to us on social media at Test of Time Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Drop us an email, thetestoftimepodcast@gmail.com. And we will see you next time, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
I'm going to go to the place on the Old Town Road. I'm going to sing my song and I'll see you there. We're going to do a podcast on the Old Town Road. The road is so old and there is a town. Did you ever go to the Old Town Road?
Dance, stop!